Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Where do economists come from? I welcome John Cochran, an economist at the Hoover Institution on Palo Alto, California, Stanford's campus, the author of the book, The Fiscal Theory of the Price Level. But right now we're attending to the social part of where do economists come from? Yes, they're babies and they grow up. But in the meantime, we're going to concentrate on the ordeal of becoming an economist, undergraduate, graduate, postgrad, postdoc, pre-doc, all of these words, John Cochran introduces me to into The Grumpy Economist, the blog that he keeps very carefully to explicate the passing scene from an economist's point of view. Professor, a very good evening to you. Where economists come from is a great deal of work, and I'm struck in your essay about how they move on. They're never anywhere more than 1 to 2 years, which is an afternoon. And this puts a burden on all economists, but especially young women who delay childbearing and family formation into their 30s, maybe into their 40s. Your essay, however, suggests this is not now a major concern for economists. They're not focusing on it. Should they? Will they, John? Because there are other methods of making people both graduate economists and moms. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes and yes, I hope. And thank you for asking me on. This is a dangerous topic for two old men like you and me to be talking about, but we must because it's important. So two interesting things have happened in my time in the economics profession since the 1980s. The first is a dedicated desire to bring more women into a very male-dominated profession, which is a good thing. And right now, on hiring, for example, there's a strong preference for hiring women over men. It's very hard for men to get jobs. On the other hand, so that's made it easier for women to get into economics. On the other hand, we're losing a lot along the way, the sieve phenomenon. And the whole professional career track has lengthened and become much more difficult for women. When I was young, it used to be 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of grad school, get a job. And then pretty good chance of moving on to tenure with that job. Now, often you'll take 5 years to get through an undergrad. Then you go 2 years for a master's degree. Then you spend 2 years or more being a research assistant somewhere. Then you start grad school, which is 5 or 6 years. Then you get a postdoc. Then you might finally get a job, but the job will often involve moving around different places. So the kind of job stability and locational stability it takes to have children has been dragged way out, and many women are finding this more and more difficult, and that's one reason why many are leaving economics. So despite all the great desire to have women in the field, unintentionally we've made it much, much harder for them, and which is why there's still very few women at the higher ranks in economics.
I read your blog another way, John, not just the difficulty for women, but the hoops, the bars that people must go over to maintain their possibility of becoming a professor or an analyst. Paper publishing, publication. I've always heard, you know, since I was an undergraduate, publisher perish. This looks like the extreme version. And you make it clear that the supplements, the online supplements that I see routinely, ballyhooed in Nature and Science magazine, is a complete overwhelming burden to all these young people. Is that correct, John?
Well, there's costs and benefits to everything. Well, let's be economists, but things have changed. Papers used to be fewer and shorter, and maybe I'm getting old and grumpy, but better. but now the availability of the internet means that journals are free to ask if the standard response to any paper is cut it down by 20 pages and then add responses to items 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 and throw that all in an internet appendix so that the actual result ends up being this bloated amount of work. And at the same time, now that's not, you know, writing books is good, but at the same time, the profession has gone more towards counting larger and larger numbers, and as opposed to actually, what did you write? What did it say? Is it meaningful? And so that too is, you know, it's kind of a rat race of producing large numbers of loaded papers in order to advance professionally, as opposed to write a few things that people really care about. Now, maybe I'm old and grumpy about that, but sure seems that way.
Well, you were an undergraduate, then you applied to graduate economics at Stanford University. There's pre-doc, there's post-doc, and then there's assistant professor, and then there's associate professor. All of those steps, is it like climbing a staircase? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's climbing a staircase, but they typically involve, you know, every job has staircases, but these typically are short-term jobs that are limited in time. And so if you go to Stanford as a pre-doc, you typically will not continue as a graduate student. If you go to Stanford as a graduate student, you will not stay here as an assistant professor, and so on and so forth. So people are faced with moving and necessarily finding a job every couple of years, which is much tougher than climbing the corporate ladder where there's, you know, assistant, you know, all sorts of different titles, but you stay in the same company until you find something better and move laterally.
And so what you have to do as a pre-doc, post-doc, you have to write as many papers as possible and supplement them online. You have to apply for grants or apply for papers for other places to stay. And when your 2 years are up, you're under the pressure of your colleagues all around you. And if you're a woman looking to marry, or you're married at that point, you're looking to find time for a baby. It's impossible.
It's very difficult. You know, I salute the women who have made this work one way or another. But it's and having to move all the time is very hard because your husband has to move too, or you're going to live in different cities. And that, of course, is not very good for family formation and childbearing.
What is to be done? Your recommendations are that it's time to look it in the face and realize that we've made it too hard. It's from my point of view, John, a senior male, it's much too hard to imagine taking this on. Really, you present something. You have to be extremely romantic about your profession to want to risk this.
It is a bit of a rat race. Now, why has it slowed down? You know, I got to be an economist. There's always supply and demand. And I think what we're doing is what's happened in many other fields. This is a reaction to there's less demand for economists than there used to be, and we're still pumping them out. So we just slow down the career track as a way of rationing jobs rather than cut wages or do the things that other places do. So fundamentally, you know, you have to adapt to that somehow. I think we could consciously go back to a system where careers happen more quickly, where there's locational stability. Some of it involves being a little more hard-hearted. At the same time, in economics, we don't do tests as much as we used to do, and kind of nobody flunks out officially. So, you know, people could get who are going to eventually leave should leave sooner, and then people who are going to stay can stay more. And I think it would be good if those of us old people like me, who are on tenure committees and on hiring committees, spent more time actually reading one or two papers to look for something good rather than counting numbers and saying who's hot. But we'll see.
The young women I see on videos coming from the financial broadcasters, I'm looking at Bloomberg, but there's so many around the world. They're very well spoken. Are they former docs or postdocs or pre-docs? Are they economists?
Yes.
Because they speak to all of the material you have, but they care about right now what the market's doing as well.
Yes. And we've been talking about a very narrow profession. You know, the problems I emphasize are true in all of academia. But as you know, academia is becoming more and more dysfunctional in lots of ways. So one thing people do when they have a love for economics is they take some graduate school. And then at some point they figure out, I don't want to be a paper publishing academic in this rat race, and move on to some of the other great opportunities there are for economists now. One is being a business economist, where you analyze data for a company, or a economist. There's a lot of economists in the fintech and in the tech space. Economists are very good at looking at data and sorting out cause from correlation. That's one of the best things we do. And that's a valuable skill in industry. Maybe lots and lots of people going into academia isn't a great thing. and we should be doing more socially useful things like the ones you mentioned.
And then there are fathers everywhere like mine, John. Once upon a time, when I started at Princeton, he said, "Why don't you take economics just in case?" I didn't listen to him, and I regret. All these decades later, I get to talk to you. That's the payoff. John Cochran of Hoover Institution on the Stanford campus at Palo Alto. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.